Acts, chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his habit was, went in and reasoned with them from the Scriptures for 3 consecutive Sabbath days, opening up the Scriptures and laying out clearly the necessity for the Anointed One to suffer and rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, when he said, "I proclaim to you," is the Anointed One. And some of them were persuaded and associated themselves with Paul and Silas, including a great number of devout Greeks and more than a few of the influential women. But the Jews, being motivated by jealousy, gathered to themselves certain evil men who hung out on the streets and, inciting a riot, set the city in an uproar. And assaulting the house of Jason, they planned to bring them out to the people. But when they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and certain brethren before the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too, whom Jason has welcomed into his home. And all of them act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, someone named Jesus." And the crowd, along with the rulers of the city, were disturbed when they heard these things. So when they had taken a security bond from Jason and the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea. And when they got there, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, along with more than a few of the influential Greek women and men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God was being proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating the crowds. Therefore, the brethren sent Paul off immediately to go as far as the sea, while Silas and Timothy stayed there in Berea. And those who went with Paul brought him as far as Athens, but Silas and Timothy, receiving instructions that they should come to him as quickly as possible, also departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, seeing the city so full of idols. On one hand, he reasoned in the synagogue with Jews who worshipped there, and on the other hand, reasoned in the marketplace every day with those whom he encountered. And some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers conversed with him. But some said, "What is this babbler saying?" And others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of strange gods, because he proclaimed the good news of Jesus and the resurrection." So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "We want to know what this new teaching is about which you are speaking. For some of the things you are saying sound very strange to us. Therefore, we would like to understand what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the emigrants living there spent their time doing nothing except either telling or hearing about some new thing. So Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that you worship many different kinds of gods. For as I walk along and observe the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What, therefore, you worship in ignorance, this is what I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all the things in it, he, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made with human hands. Neither does he need men's hands attending to him, since he doesn't need anything, and since he himself gives life and breath and everything else. And he made with one blood every nation of mankind who lives on the face of the earth, having determined beforehand their times and the boundaries of their empires. This was so that they would seek the Lord, if perhaps they might grope after him and find him, though truly he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So also even certain of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' Being then the offspring of God, we should not imagine that the Father is like gold, silver, or stone, which are carved by the art, craft, and the imagination of men. These times of ignorance God overlooked until now, but at this time he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has set a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed, but others said, "We want to hear from you again concerning this." And this is the way Paul left them. But certain men joined themselves to him and believed, among whom were Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and also others with them. This is the end of Acts chapter 17.
The Father's Life New Testament Version was translated and produced by A Grain of Wheat Ministries,
not by the reader, Wayne O'Connor.
We hope you enjoyed this segment of the Father's Life New Testament Version. The Father's Life New Testament Version, in its entirety, is available for free at www.agrainofwheat.com. Request your copy today.